I want to tell you now about some young women who are defying cultural barriers in Afghanistan. On some mornings, these women can be seen riding their bicycles through Kabul's dusty streets. That's a daring thing to do in a country where women aren't supposed to ride bikes at all. And these young women aren't just riding for fun. Their dream is to qualify for the Olympics as members of Afghanistan's women's national cycling team. That's where Shannon Galpin comes in. She's an American women's rights activist who's helping to train the team. How did this get going, a women's national cycling team? I can't imagine that was sort of a natural for Afghanistan today.
No, it's definitely not. But in a culture right now that is experiencing incredible opportunities for women, including sports, cycling is an incredible fit as it's so much more than a sport. It's also a symbol of freedom.
I'd love to kind of hear about some of the women who are training for the national cycling team. Can you introduce us to a few of them?
Sure. One of the key women on the team is Miriam. And Miriam is actually the first woman that I met back in 2012. And she's one of the stronger cyclists on the team. She's also one of the oldest, and she's probably 22, 23. It's always kind of a variable in Afghanistan with age. And she's also the only woman who's married on the team.
And is she from Kabul?
She is from Kabul. She spent a brief time, like many Afghans did, in Iran during the war, and came back. And is now living in Kabul with Coach, actually. They are distant relatives.
And what do her parents think about it?
Her family is very supportive of it. I mean, Coach is essentially extended family. And more importantly, now because she's married, her husband is supportive of it.
So what happens when she gets out there on a bike? Do she and the other women train? Do they get harassed or are they kind of left alone? How does it work for them to actually train?
Well, it's been very interesting for me because I started riding and mountain biking back in 2009, looking to see if women would ever be allowed to ride bikes and challenging that barrier. And now I ride and train with the girls' team in Kabul. And it's a completely different experience and gives me incredible insight as to the risks that these young women take. When I ride with the Afghan team, they are often harassed. Insults are thrown at them. Rocks are thrown at them. They've been slingshotted. Verbal is the most common way of harassing them versus physical. But, you know, it's not unlikely that something quite serious could happen. In the same way that young girls who are walking to school get harassed and even have acid thrown on them. You know, there's been acid attacks and just for walking to school. So doing something as controversial as riding a bike in Afghanistan certainly comes with great risk.
Do they sort of take steps to avoid the harassers and the people who are assaulting them?
Well, that's one thing that I really work with Coach on is how can we mitigate their risk? You know, what they're choosing to do is incredibly risky, but how they look at it, they're the ones that assume the risk. They're the ones that are, you know, live with the risk of just being a woman in Afghanistan every single day. And they have to make those choices as to, you know, what they are willing to do for the opportunities that are there for them. And so in this particular case, you know, it's trying to find as many different places to train as possible, which is very difficult because you need paved, smooth roads. That means they're often training on Afghan highways, which is incredibly dangerous, whether you're a male or a female. And there's only one or two really strong routes within Kabul, but they're much more visible then. And they are a spectacle when they ride down the street. People look and stare and notice.
I thought I read that they actually get up extremely early in the morning to practice to try to avoid some of this. Is that true?
Yeah. When we ride in Kabul, often we're meeting like at 5 a.m. And when we ride on Afghan highways, sometimes it's not quite as early because they're further out of town. But one of the big projects that I'm doing with the team is looking at what are the simpler ways that we could also help, you know, reduce the risk. And one of those is a minibus, you know, getting a minibus that we could basically pick up all the girls, all the bikes, and go to more different varied places each time they train, you know, mix it up so that they're less predictable as to where they're going to be.
I mean, how often are they out there? How rigorous is the training and who's out there with them?
So they're always training with Coach Sadiq and sometimes with members of the men's team. But it's incredibly varied. There's no real predictable training schedule for them. One, because of security, which has been quite bad this year. Two, because of access. Can Coach actually get to them and pick them all up? Do they have school? It's a very difficult country, obviously, to be trying to build a very public team in. It's not like the football or cricket teams or even the boxing team, which is quite controversial, but it's done in a gymnasium.
Are the men's cyclists supportive? The men's cycling team, are they supportive of the women, or is there kind of a little, you know, okay, you can be with us, but we really think this is wrong?
It's very interesting. The men's team are supportive of the women and kind of see them as sisters. And we've really tried to nurture that. I think where there has been a little bit of conflict has been in where the men see that, you know, they as boys have grown up on bikes. They have great handling skills. They can ride in cycling spandex and, you know, charge the hills, long distances, better endurance, and feel like they're actually, you know, they're racers, they're a competitive team. Whereas they see the girls and, you know, they're in flat pedals. They're just learning how to ride as a competitive sport. And they sometimes, I think, are a little bit resentful of the fact that they're also called, you know, a team. But when we really come down to explaining the cultural differences, you know, that you got to grow up on a bike, this is new for them. And we're really trying to support them to grow the sport overall, which will also help the men's team. Many of the members then will go out and ride with the girls.
Do the girls wear spandex?
Underneath a layer of tracksuit bottoms and long sleeve shirts, yes.
So they defer to local custom to some degree in terms of covering up part of themselves?
Definitely. They have to be very creative as to how they dress when they're riding a bike, because I myself even will ride in a long skirt over my pants just to be as culturally acceptable as I can off the bike. They are kind of pushing those boundaries in that they're wearing pants and a long sleeve shirt under a cycling jersey. There's no skin showing, but it's still quite risque by Afghan standards.
What's preventing the girls and some of them, obviously women, from having better bicycles and, you know, the right kind of pedals? I mean, I'm visualizing that the guys have better bicycles and better uniforms and the girls don't. Is that a money issue?
It was a money issue. That has changed because I've brought over 60 racing bikes. We brought over 400 pounds of cycling gear and equipment and over 60 racing bikes. So the equipment now they have, the flat pedals is a matter of getting the girls comfortable into clipless and getting them shoes and cleats, which we don't have a sponsor for yet. And funding is the biggest issue. I've been working with them for 2 years, and the biggest need at this point to grow the Cycling Federation and to grow the team is financial.
And are you aiming for the 2016 Olympics?
No, we're looking at the 2020. We would like to get the team to the 2016 as observers so they can see the level of cycling and they can understand really what the sport of cycling is about on a global scale. But 2020 is more realistic. These are girls that have really only been riding bikes for 2 or 3 years. They've never ridden bikes before that. So to grow the sport and to have them have a good chance at the 2020 will mean a lot of development, a lot of training, and a lot of that will have to happen outside of Afghanistan.
Shannon, what motivates these women? I mean, there's a lot of risks. You know, this isn't an easy thing. What motivates them to take part in this?
I think what I see with these women is the same as what I see with the young women who risk their lives walking to school, who risk their lives to run in politics. They have said many times, change does not happen by playing it safe. We're not going to change the access for women if we sit at home on a couch. And they've all said that at different times in different ways. And I think that represents the Afghan women that are coming through right now in this period of time. They're incredibly courageous, incredibly resilient, and they're not willing to sit by and let their rights be oppressed. Mm.
Shannon Galpin is working with the Afghan Women's National Cycling Team, and she has a memoir that's just coming out, Mountain to Mountain, A Journey of Adventure and Activism for the Women of Afghanistan. I wish you luck.
And I appreciate that.